It's Norm Farrar, aka the Beard Guy, and I have the pleasure of speaking with Cassandra Craven. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm very excited to be here. I've seen some amazing interviews that you've done, so I'm really excited to be part of it. Thank you.
Well, that's wow, amazing interview. I wouldn't say that.
Well, you're right. I would say mega, as we say. Quite mega.
So, we met at the Empowery Women's Summit. You blew me away. I was always struggling with social media. I've tried to hire, 100 social media managers, and they always fell through the cracks. Either I was training them wrong, I was doing something wrong, because everyone failed. So just recently during COVID, and you were actually the inspiration to get me doing this, because, you know, we talked and I gave you my story, and, you know, I listened to what you were saying at that event, and it got me going. So I hired some really cheap labor, my son.
I'm sure he loves that.
Hi, Kelsey.
Hello, everyone.
And we've been doing it a bit by a bit. This has been about 45 days now. And, we want to do basically a case study on this to see how it expands. And it's been going organically. We've done a little bit of paid advertising, but, you know, going back to you and, you know, thanking you for helping us out. So I thought what would be a great topic today is how to help other Amazon sellers get onto social media. What are some tips? But first, I think everybody has to sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and let's start this interview. So, Cassandra, you are the social media manager over at Helium 10.
Correct. Yes.
You do an awesome job with that.
Thank you.
We all see your posts. So you've got a very incredible backstory. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Of course. Okay, everyone, strap in, get your coffee going. It started in 2011. I was actually a journalism intern, social media journalism intern for a Disney Nickelodeon fan site. So they did a lot of PR. They would go to Disney Nick shows on set, basically do interviews, capture behind the scenes content, take it back to the office. We'd write blogs about it, publish it. And at the time, there was only YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. So I hope I'm not aging myself here, Norm, back in the day of social media, if you will. So, and that's where really, like I said, I was more focused on journalism, but I was like, oh, I've got a Twitter account. I'm sure I can do this. And I felt that I was just thrusted into this social sphere. And I learned so much. One of the girls who was my mentor there actually worked at Judge Judy previously to that, and then started her own company and started thriving because she just made all these connections. And so once I kind of got, you know, all my training there, really got my feet wet, I actually got a job in daytime court shows working for Divorce Court and Judge Alex at Fox 20th Century. And what really stood out to me, or what they had told me I stood out for, was I was the only one that could bring examples in. I was taking this young approach to an older demographic, an older genre, you know, daytime court shows, middle America, you're at home, you know, somewhat stay at home moms and an older demographic. And I took all these things I learned from this younger network of Disney and Nickelodeon and applied it there. And so I was doing behind the scenes. I was doing what wasn't Facebook Lives at the time. They were you had to use some other component. And so we were going through all this. And I really took, you think daytime court shows, divorce court. And then I said, well, what are the layers? I kind of peeled back the layers of it. And it's not just the hokey, you know, he said, she said, fighting on screen. It was, well, let's talk about relationship advice. Let's talk about being a parent. Let's talk about single parents. And so I would hone that in as our social content, whether it was an impactful quote or a Facebook Live, things like that, that could really connect with the audience. And something I started to see was, more often than not, the audience was coming back to us commenting on Facebook and saying, oh, wow, I feel like I'm more part of the show than I ever have. And you have to remember, Divorce Court is actually the longest running court show on television. And they had been watching, I was there season 13, 14, and 15. And these people have been viewing for so long, and now they feel that they're a part of the show more than ever. And that to me was so rewarding. So from there, I went over to Paternity Court, another classic television genre. But, you know, incorporating the social for that, you had to resonate with the audience. And so I'm learning all these things of how you connect with people, what they find interesting, humorous, what they find valuable. And then from there, advertising, I went over to IMAX, and that was incredible with film, large scale. I talked about some of those tactics that, as you mentioned, at the women's conference, really how to apply those big budget tactics, because I mean, court shows are great and I love them and I've learned so many things, but you know, Aquaman, Divorce Court, a little bit of a bigger budget, little bit. so, you know, getting those large scale tactics, and then from there coming to Helium 10, I had all this insight, all this knowledge, all this creative inspiration that now I can apply here, which, you know, kind of wrapping it up or full circle is taking all these tactics and being able to apply them and help people in the entrepreneurial space get their organic social media content. Cause that was one thing I saw coming into it. You know, they're running these seven-figure businesses. They're so smart. They can analyze and, you know, they're making all this money. And I'm like, and like they have one post on Instagram, you know, and you're like, you have such a cool product or you're a cool person. You need to connect with your audience. Like, I just, you know, I was like, there should be so much more of this. And, you know, I know a lot of times, especially Amazon sellers are more kind of like, oh, I'm just here to do my thing. Like I'm behind the screen, put, you know, got to make my money. And it's, but there is such an opportunity there to increase sales, increase revenue and increase return on your investments.
I don't think a lot of Amazon sellers understand that building a brand on Amazon, it's a business. It really is a business, a micro brand. Right now, the way that things are, in the world, there's no better time to have a micro brand, but you have to treat it like a brand. Yep. And if you don't treat it like a brand, if you don't get the word out there, you're just going to leave a lot of money on the table. Plus, one of the biggest things that I try to preach is that you can be a brand on Amazon and you think that you're known, but you're not. You have a small group, a small tribe that buys from you. And if somebody comes and searches out natural soap and they see you and then you've got great packaging, the first thing they're going to do is click off of Google and try to find you. And if you don't have a presence or if you've got a terrible presence, they're not going to trust you. You need trust to get the sale.
I mean, really, it's something if you want to equate it, it's almost like online dating. You know what I mean? You can match with someone on Tinder, and then when you go to find them on Facebook, if they like have no presence or you're kind of like, oh, that's weird, you haven't uploaded something since 2012, you get a little bit of a different vibe there, you know? I know Michelle Barnum Smith, she's always equating, you know, talking about dating and the equivalence to this, but I think that's a really great rationale and how you can kind of equate an analogy for it. Because you want that trustworthiness. And especially if you're relevant, you're up to date. I think those all carry over into how you market your product and your brand. You know, you want to be on the cutting edge. You want to have the most up-to-date technology, products, materials, whatever it may be. And that will be translated into your social media channels if you can convey that properly.
So for the average Amazon seller, and they might not have a big budget, they might not know how to start. What would be the starting point to get into social media?
See, that's why this is so great. Organic social media is free, Norm. I know you know that. It's really start looking at everything. Start honing in on what you find most interesting. And then the greatest thing about Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, there's a ton of free resources out there straight from the source. I know I've talked about this with you previously. That is my go-to because I think there's a lot of people out there in the space that can claim to be experts. And there is, you know, and you should always kind of keep your ear to that. But when you can get something straight from Instagram, straight from Facebook, straight from Twitter, YouTube, that's where you got to go. Look for those guides. Look for those how-to guides, best practices. You can learn all about the ins and outs of whatever you're trying to do. and see how you can, how basically Instagram and Facebook are telling you to do so and how you can be most successful. So because organic social media is free and these resources are free, you really have nothing to lose. You know what I'm saying? You just have to go onto the help center. They have all the guides. I also talk about getting Facebook certified, Blueprint certified, Twitter certified. There's all these resources. And then you kind of know that you're on the right track with what big brands are doing, agencies. You're on that same playing field for a no cost at all.
So one of the things, oh, I hear dogs. Do you hear dogs?
I do have dogs too, Norm. So I'm like over here like, oh, well, at least they're not mine.
So what I was going to say about the training, I always like to, I hire virtual assistants, but I like to train. I don't want to be the smartest, and I'm not the smartest person out there. I want to hire smarter all the time, but I also need to know a bit about it. So these certification programs, it's probably a good idea for the owner of the brand to understand the different platform and which platform is best for them, because Facebook might not be the best platform or Twitter might not be the best platform. Where do you think you should start? Like if you're selling on Amazon right now, is it a Facebook play or do you go across all three or four platforms? How do you balance that?
You know, you really have to look, first of all, I always go for what do you like the most, you know, because if you're not personally gravitating towards it, you're not going to want to do it. You're not going to want to update it. I'm not a big like Pinterest person. So it's kind of always hard for me to get going on there because I'm like, oh, it's just not my thing, but I love Instagram. So the more you like something, the more you're going to want to know about it and look at what appeals to you most, and then look at what is most applicable to your brand and your business. So if you want to do how-to videos, whether you have, you know, kitchen appliances or how you can do that, that maybe YouTube is your best strategy there. If you're comfortable on video, some people aren't. So you really have to play to your strengths and weaknesses as well. If you're more of a photo person, maybe you have a photography background or you've hired someone that can take great shots for you, Instagram's your go-to place. Facebook is a great kind of catch-all because I think there's still so many demographics on there. You can have Facebook groups to talk about your product. You can have your brand. It's kind of become a staple in the social media world, if you will. You just have a Facebook. I really think gravitating towards what you like is the first step, and then seeing what is most applicable to your brand. And then from there, deciding what content will work best, not only for your brand, but for the platform. So again, going back to photography is really powerful on Instagram, videos for YouTube. If you're trying to make quick snippets, TikTok may be for you. If you're giving quick how-tos or you're connecting with influencers, depending on who you're working with, that's another great way to kind of hone down on what your niche should be and what platforms work best for you.
What do you see as the biggest mistakes that people are making right now?
The biggest mistakes that people are making. Okay, I mean, everyone is great, of course. So I think there's always that you have a grain of, I see what you're going for there, but maybe you've missed the mark. And I think that some people can overuse stock imagery. And I think that is a huge disconnect for people. I'm not saying it shouldn't be used. I think that used correctly, finding the right assets, I think it becomes so just kind of inundated. Like people just kind of tune it out. They think it's an ad. Whereas if you use organic imagery, something taken even off your phone, people are automatically connecting with that. They're thinking it's something their friend would post. It's something they relate to. It just has a more synonymous connotation, as opposed to when you see stock imagery, you automatically think ad, you know, you're trying to sell me something. I'm tuning out. And that's not the content they're here for. So I really would be cautious with how you use it, when you use it, and what you use it for. And really take any opportunity that you can to capture your own images.
One of the things that we've done with our clients, just a really simple step that they can do to get some really great lifestyle photos, is we tell them just to add an insert and say, tag me in Instagram or tag me wherever, and have a chance to win a $50 or $100 gift card. And we get tons, just tons of images that we can either use for Amazon posts or for any of the social media that comes in.
Oh yeah. User generated content is one of my favorite things. It's raw, it's real, and people have more of an attachment to it. They're going to gravitate towards it more, and it's easy. It takes the pressure off you. Like you just said, $50 gift card, yep. It's incentivizing, and people love to share their products on social, especially once you give an incentive like that. You know, people are already doing it for the most part. And now that they know that they can actually get something out of it on top of even being featured. And that's something else. You know, I think a $50 gift card is, of course, wonderful. I'm not going to lie. People are going to do this for free. You know what I mean? Like, people like to show off their products, especially depending on what your brand is. If it's something, you know, I'm doing it all the time and I'm not, you know, I'm a social media person, so I'm in that space. But I see people who aren't even that, you know, that's not their personality type. Hey, got this in the mail, do an unboxing, depending on what it is or what the trends are. I think user-generated content is the way to go. If you can capitalize on it, go for it.
Have you ever heard of Daniel DeMassa? He owns Diepic.
Oh, no. Tell me more.
Oh, my gosh. I've known him for a couple of years, and he has a brand called Diepic. Okay, you can find it actually in Twitter. In Instagram, look up hashtag #DieEpicTattoos. He has people, it started as one person doing it, tattooing his logo on their body.
Oh my.
Now he's got over 1,000 people with Diepic on their bodies. Now talk about brand ambassadors.
Oh yes, that is top-notch user-generated content. I did float that idea around Helium 10. I don't think they've taken me up on it yet. So
remove temporary tattoos. How's that?
Now that might be something we can get into. Okay.
There we go.
You know, and we just rebranded, so maybe, and I had pitched it a while back, so maybe it would have been not a good thing to have now, but that is some diehard fandom right there. You
Isn't
know
that something? And he's got, I was on his site yesterday and he's got people parachuting, hand gliding, you name it. And there's all these people that have done it. Now on that hashtag, I think there's only about 50 people, but he was telling me that there's approximately 1,000 people that have Diepic on their body.
I think if you can get to that level of, you know, user generated content, you're doing something right.
You know what? I'm going to put a challenge out there right now. And anybody who wants to put Soap Club on their body, we'll see. Hey, that would be great. If
I keep me posted. I want to know the results of that for sure. I think it'd make an excellent case study.
Natural soap for natural people.
could I chime in here?
Oh, yeah, please sure. Do.
So actually, we just got a comment from Daniel DeMassa saying, hey, you guys rock.
Oh, hey, Daniel's listening. Oh, my gosh. Right
now. He's watching. Great. We also have a comment from Oksana saying, Norm, I'm getting hooked on your podcast. Cassandra, your energy and positivity are mind-blowing. Hugs from Europe.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, and you know what? I have to agree. It's what I love about Cassandra, her energy. It's always positive. She's willing to share. And she's incredible.
Let's go get some.
I wouldn't just say that, you know. Now I say that to everybody when I talk about you.
Thank you. You know, it is a. I really love that people get that vibe from me, and I think that's also something, you know, to kind of go on to the social media note, is people want to know about your personality, and that's how you connect. Because a lot of the people that I've talked to, I've never even met in person, you know. And the power of social media is real. I'll use an example. Yana from YLT Translations came in, and I had been talking to her on social media. She did our Serious Sellers podcast, and, you know, I'd done the, you know, tagged her in our audiograms, and it was kind of, you know, hey girl, here you go, you know, feel free to promote. And then her and I started to connect on, we had the same interest in music, activities, travel, things like that. And she's in Serbia. And when she came to our office for the women's conference, she was in town. It felt like I'd been talking to her for years, like we were old friends, you know, and that feeling is so cool. And if you can create that feeling with people from social media, that's what's going to connect them to your brand. That establishes brand loyalty. That establishes the product loyalty. They're going to be your ambassador. They're going to be your advocate. If they trust you, they're going to trust your brand. And so to have that kind of feeling, like, you know, that's on a personal note, that connecting with people, but I think it's really shows the impact and the power of social media and how it translates on and offline.
And that's something else though. Putting up a post is one thing. Getting engagement is a second. And that's probably the most important part of social media. You can post all day long, but if you don't engage, you're not really getting any traction. Do you have any tips on how to get engagement?
Well, that's the thing, Norm. It's a two-way street. You know, you can be posting all day, but if you're not actively looking at hashtags, geotags, going in there and seeing what other people are talking about that resonates with your either your personal brand or your product, you're not going to get that engagement. I would really look at the top 10 hashtags that are most relevant to you and your business. Go in there, see who you can connect with, see what people are talking about, and then see what they're posting. And, you know, I love the old saying, you know, take from the best and make it your own. See what they're doing and see how you can make it either similar, but, you know, more often better. And get in that conversation, you know, so when everyone goes to those hashtags and they're seeing this wall of feeds come at them, you know, for the top most recent posts, yours is going to stand out because it may be similar content, but it's going to be a cut above the rest. So look at what you can do and how you can improve it. So definitely go to hashtags, geotags. I think there's also a lot of conversation on Twitter. I think depending on your demographic or again, what resonates and you gravitate towards, a lot of people dismiss Twitter, but it's a great search engine. You can look for what the topics are, what's trending. I know that whenever Instagram goes down, everyone's first source is Twitter and saying, is Instagram down? What's going on? So just having that similar conversation, connecting with, seeing what people are talking about, that's how you can better sculpt your content and find out what's resonating with everyone that will come to your brand.
So on the hashtags, is there an app or something that somebody could look for that could help find the best hashtags in their niche?
I mean, there's a plethora of options on the App Store. You can definitely, you'll plug in what your topic is, see what the trending hashtags are most associated with. If you have something like Sprout Social, they will actually pull that in, not only what you use most frequently, but what's most associated with your brand. Now that's a little investment, but there's definitely different tier levels and different, you know, applications and softwares and tools that you can use to better analyze your social media outreach. So really, I mean, if you want to invest in it, you know, $30-$50 a month, I think it's worth it because time is money. And if you're not there, like searching through hashtags on Instagram, you know, you're a busy entrepreneur. You don't have time for that. You know, get a software that's just going to tell you what it is. And that's going to cut out half the time. Definitely look for what those are. And you can always go in organically, of course, just see what those top trending hashtags are. And oftentimes, when you see those posts associated using those hashtags, you'll see other ones. They'll put multiple hashtags in there. So then you kind of go down this rabbit hole of, oh yeah, this makes sense. This makes sense. So then you're left with, you know, 100 hashtags that you can kind of play around with, do a little A/B testing and see what resonates most.
Well, what apps would you recommend anybody starting out?
You know, okay, I did use apps earlier on in my career and now I don't, I'll be honest with you. But we do use Sprout Social and I have used that in the past, even for IMAX, we've used that. And the way that it pulls it, like I said, it does half the work for you. So I'm just there posting, scheduling my content, and I don't even need to go in and do that research because it's telling me what to do. So my best tip would be get a software tool.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. How much is Sprout Social? I got to check that out.
Check it out. And there's, you know, there's Hootsuite, Asana. There's a lot of other social media tools out there. And I think they're really willing to kind of talk to you about what you're working with, what your, you know, your price range are, what you're looking to do, what you're hoping to achieve. They're always kind of willing to work with you. So I would definitely reach out, do a little research, and you'll probably, again, you'll go down a rabbit hole of you'll start looking for one and then you'll have, you know, 10 options to choose from. And you just have to look at what suits you best and your needs.
Well, I was told we were using Hootsuite at one point, and I forget, somebody told me that for a business account, I shouldn't be using Hootsuite. But I know so many companies that use Hootsuite, agencies that use Hootsuite. So we stopped using Hootsuite because we were told that Facebook doesn't like it. Is that true?
Oh yeah. Well, there is, I mean, it's the same thing as posting like a YouTube link on Facebook. they want you to use their in-app features. And that's another great point to bring to the surface is when I am scheduling content, which I'm very 50-50 norm about scheduling content, especially in the climate of the world today, you never want something to go out that's irrelevant or not on trend or may be perceived as, you know, insensitive in any way. So definitely, you know, keep an eye on your scheduled content. But when I am scheduling content through Sprout, I do not schedule my Facebook posts because Facebook somewhat rewards you for using their in-app features and it kind of pushes it to the top, if you will. They like to show that you're using their scheduling tools on the back end. They've got the content creators on the back end. So definitely use any in-app features that you can because they will reward you for that. Similarly, though, they don't want you leaving. So similarly with Hootsuite, like YouTube, posting a YouTube link is not always necessarily the best practice because it's taking you off of Facebook and they don't like that. Right. So I agree. Hootsuite, I think, was really big when I started in social media and it was the go-to source. I think it was one of the first platforms and tools. Now it's just evolved so much. And even the last time I remember using it, it seemed very rudimentary. It didn't have the facets. Whereas I've worked from everything from, you know, the beginners, mediocre, intermediate to advanced. And there are so many tools out there, Norm, that can give you geofencing. Like how many people are talking about you between this state or in this, you know, international region and things like that. So there's just so many opportunities that you can cater content to. And there's so many tools out there that don't get boxed in with something that gives you three or four features that you have to kind of work around.
I got two more questions.
Okay, let's hear them.
How much is too much and when should you post?
Okay, so again, I don't ever want to make anything a blanketed end all be all because social media is so subjective depending on who you are, your brand, your level of how much you're doing, where you're at with it. I think in the beginning, start posting, get a bunch of content out there, see what gets a hit, you know, because you don't want to post something on a Tuesday and have to wait 3 days to find out, you know, if the A-B testing of it is going to do well. So I say in the beginning, post as much as you can and see what starts to hit. Then kind of peel back and start refining your post schedule. You also have to work with what works for you. Again, we always talk about entrepreneurs or how much content you're pumping out there. Don't commit to something if you can't follow through because your audience will be looking for that content. So if you say you're going to do a tip every Tuesday and then you know that you're not going to be available every Tuesday, that's going to become problematic. And again, people will lose trustworthiness within you and your brand. So definitely do what works for you and what's feasible and then see how people start gravitating. I also always go back to Instagram, Facebook, Insights, all the activity logs, look at what people are connecting with and when. So they'll split it off by demographics, but then they also have the activity insights of, hey, a lot of people are engaging with your content at 2 a.m. Maybe you should schedule some co-posts at 2 a.m. So you really have to look at what the information tells you. And it may seem daunting, but it's really doing it the work for you, Norm. You know what I'm saying? Just adhere to what it's telling you and then you'll just grow exponentially. And I also think, again, don't box yourself in with, two to three posts a week. What am I going to do? Quality content is always going to outperform. So don't rush with half done content or something that you don't believe in. If you don't like that photo or you feel it's low quality or you're kind of, I'm on the fence. I don't really love that. Don't do it because quality content will always outperform a schedule or anything like that because it's good content. You know, it doesn't matter day or night. Good content will always rise to the top.
I think it was Neil Patel that said, if you're writing a blog article, make sure it's the best or don't publish it at all.
Yep. I 100% agree with that. And yeah. I think that, you know, that's something too, like brands, of course, adhere to that, but even personal stuff, you know, if you're leveraging your own personality, if you are out and about and you take something that you're like, oh, it's kind of cool, but I don't know, don't do it. Cause I feel like it's more regrettable. I mean, of course you can always archive it later. So that's always a great feature, but yeah, if you don't feel strongly about it, and I think that's just a good life lesson.
Yeah. One of the things that I've seen too, that drives me crazy. I don't know about you, but I'll have I'll be following different people, and I like their LinkedIn, and I like Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, you name it. So I'm following them. But then at the same time, they have the same post go out, and I'm looking at the feeds and I'm canceling it. Like, I've already seen it over here. I've already seen it over here. And it drives me bonkers. Like, just stagger. If you're going to do that, stagger it. Don't put it out all at the same time.
No,
I don't know if you experience that too, but.
Well, there's a strategy there. Pros and cons would be, okay, so you have the same copy, same creative going out across all platforms. Now you get to see what resonates with which audience the most, how they want to digest their content, consume it. But then when you already have loyal followers like yourself, and you're like, well, I follow this brand everywhere, and now I'm seeing this content four times, and it's the same exact copy. I mean, it's going to get redundant, and then people are going to start to tune you out. Again, it's a psychology behind it. You know, you're going to start to say, oh, whatever. I already liked it on Facebook. Why do I need to like it on Twitter? Why do I need to engage with that here? I already left a comment on Instagram. And so you're really doing yourself a disservice. I know that what people, their angle and their strategy behind it is, but you're really doing yourself a disservice. So what I would do is, if you have to use the same blog link, switch up your copy and cater it to different levels. So especially for like Helium 10, if we have the same blog link going out, I try to always capitalize on, well, if there's more beginner sellers in this group, I'll see how this can work for them. There's more advanced sellers in this group, this is the copy that would adhere to them more, and really look for what level and what they're going to resonate with the best and what people would talk about on those platforms.
That's what I like when you are promoting Serious Seller podcast. There's different snippets or repurposing of the material. So you'll have an audio clip, you'll have, I don't know, three or four different posts. And even though I see it, it's different. And yeah, I might click on it just to hear the audio clip, which will lead me over to the, you know, Serious Seller podcast, but that's a lot different. And I think that's where, you know, somebody with your expertise can do this. It's just the subtle things that make a big difference in social media. At least I think so.
Oh yeah. I mean, definitely. Like, even if it's the same clip, if I'm using different copy to promote it, you're learning something different each time. You know, if it's a 5-minute clip and you only listen to the first 30 seconds, okay, you know, you saw the copy, you listened the first 30 seconds, but then if you're like, wait, they're talking about what? Wait, how do I find out about that? And you're just going to dive in deeper, you know? So that's what I try to always promote. There's some posts out there that, you know, you want to get one singular message across, and I understand that. And I understand that strategy, and I've done that myself, but definitely switching it up. People are always going to want to learn more. That's always going to, you know, click with them in a different way.
So last question, I know some people have problems with putting out different content. What types of content should people be looking at?
Oh, in general, Norm?
Yeah, just questions, polls. It's not always that, you know, one picture of me with the dog, you know, trying to get people to take a look at different types of content that's out there.
Okay, so social media is always evolving. Social media is always changing it up. So really keep a finger on the pulse. See what's out there, what's evolving, and what you can utilize. Even today, Twitter released audio tweets. And I think that's so cool, because if you're not a Twitter fan, or you're like, oh, let me type this out, you know, if that's why you've disregarded it in the past, this is a quick audio message that you can just put out there, get your thoughts out there. And it's more personable because they can hear your voice. It's coming from you. So always look at the trending topics, what's changing, what's evolving. Something I really love, Instagram stories. I think they're a great way to engage with people because they have so many different features in app, polling features, slider bar, stuff that's so easy to get engagement. And it really contributes to that brand loyalty. People feel a connection. They feel they're contributing to your brand. You're getting their feedback. You want to hear what they have to say, and vice versa. So I love Instagram stories. More people than ever are going live, which again, depending on your comfort level, if you want to go live on Instagram, Facebook, things like that. Today, I even saw something I thought was great. A representative in Brooklyn from Instagram was going live with some local businesses. And even she was having some like technical difficulties. You could kind of see it in her eyes. She's like, yeah, things are great, guys. And I kind of love that, though, because I was like, she works at Instagram, and even she's having that little moment of like going live panic, if you will. So I think keep it real. That's great content. It resonates. And I actually feel that I connected with that person more because I'm like, Instagram kept it real. I like that. And then of course, everyone's all about TikTok. You know, this quarantine silver linings, Norm, as we've discussed before, that has blown up for TikTok. This may be their best thing that ever happened to them. So really see that content. And a lot of people translate that over to their Instagram stories. I think that's a great way to do it, depending on what it is. So really just look at what's trending, what's coming out, what's new, what's next, and seeing how you can adapt to that and what you also feel comfortable and passionate about doing.
Great last words. So Cassandra, we're coming to an end. And how do people reach out and get a contact with you?
Well, Helium 10, of course, helium10.com, at Helium 10 Software on Instagram, hashtag Helium 10. But Cassandra_Craven on Instagram, Cassandra Craven on Facebook, LinkedIn. I'm always there. I'm sure you'll be able to see me in the groups. So definitely go to Helium 10 first. Helium 10, Helium 10, Helium 10. But definitely I'm there. And then we have a great team that you can always connect with about anything that you're looking to talk about, podcast, PPC, we've got it all covered. So it's a great team of experts and I'm there too.
Very good. Well, thank you for sharing your time today.
Thank you for having me, Norm.
Oh, okay. It's been my pleasure.
I have to say really quick before we go, you should be the inspiration that people look for because you have brought your social content to the next level. I love everything I'm seeing. And shout out to your son. I am so happy to see that. Like every time I see you post something, I'm so proud. And so I think that's a great guideline for people to look to you as someone in the space of, okay, what did Norm do? That's what we'll start looking to you because honestly, you're checking all the boxes, you're hitting all the points. And I really want to say props to you.
Well, thank you. Coming from you, that is a real compliment. Thanks.
Thank you, Norm.
So Kelsey, what is it at the end of every show I'm supposed to say?
Well, where do we begin? You can like, comment, share the Facebook Live if you enjoyed it. Find us on all different social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, probably TikTok now after hearing this.
Oh yeah, get Norm to do TikToks. This will be great.
It would be perfect. And yeah, just share and comment. Those go a long way to get our content out there. So
right. And by the way, if you have any questions for Cassandra that you think of later on, please just add a comment, and I'll be shooting them over to Cassandra.
I'll be here. I can't wait.
Fantastic. Oh,
before we go, I just want to shout out to two people. Peter came in from Malaysia again, and he said good morning.
Oh, great.
And Nare, I think, sorry if I mispronounced your name, but she said, Cassandra, you have a great voice. So just wanted to shout them out.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Start my voiceover career next.
All right, everybody. See you next Thursday.